Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Sponsored by FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, the leader in single-day fantasy sports contests.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to PJ After Dark Grinders Live Edition. My name is Gib Pollard. I am the host for this show, and with me, my running mate, Brian Devonshire. Devo, how's it going, mate?
Going excellent. I woke up on a houseboat this morning. It's sunny. It's like 80-something. I'm in Vegas. I have woken up alive 2 days in a row in Vegas after drinking copious amounts of alcohol, so I'm feeling great.
There's never a shortage of Devo stories. It seems like this dude is just living the life, you know, waking up on a life on a riverboat.
Houseboat.
Yeah. So I'm envious. Right now it's snowing and blowing outside and you are waking up living the life. So yeah, we're here to talk about the heritage this week from South Carolina. Devo, do you know much about the course this week?
I do not know anything about the course. I have learned some things, however, though. It's on Hilton Head Island in South Carolina. They've played here for a really long time, 40-some-odd years. It's the first course that Jack Nicklaus ever designed. There's going to be 132 golfers playing this weekend. The top 70 will, 132 will be playing for the tournament. 70 will be playing on the weekend after the cut. The course is 7,101 yards long. It's a par 71. There's only three par fives. The fairways are extremely narrow and the greens are extremely small, about 3,500 square feet on average. So this is definitely kind of the opposite of the course that we were targeting last week. This is a bunter's paradise. The guys that can hit it far, they're going to be laying up and not using their drivers very often, which will, you know, of course, improve their accuracy. But yeah, we're looking for guys that are accurate, excellent ball strikers, good players of the irons, guys that can get on the green. If you can't get on the green, then you're going to have to be scrambling. And a stat that really jumps out to me this week is the proximity to the hole. Yeah. It considers their approach shots from the rough. It's going to be tough to hit these fairways. So you want the guys that can keep it close to the stick because the green is just really small. Mm-hmm. So yeah, not so much green and reg, but definitely proximity is very important to me this week. They've been playing here after the Masters since 1983. Since then, only six winners did not play in the Masters. So it definitely shows us that guys who were playing last week should be targeted this week. Furthermore, no defending champ has ever missed the cut the following year. And only five winners in the last 47 years did it in their first try on this course. So I'm going to be looking at guys who are accurate, guys who were playing last week, and guys who have some experience on this course. Matt Kuchar won last year in 2014. He had a winning score of 11 under. They were really hampered by wind in the last couple of years, according from reading. This week, though, we're not looking at any wind. We are looking at a whole lot of South Carolina rain. There's rain in the forecast for every single day this week. That's going to soften up things a bit. That's going to make these balls stick to the greens a little bit tighter. We can expect the winning score to probably be somewhere around 13 under this week. We can expect the cut line to be 2 or so if things stay consistent. And, yeah, that's what I got.
Oh, that's perfect. I mean, that's some great stats right there. Yeah, no, it's definitely doesn't look like the wind's going to be much of a factor. I remember 2 years ago, the flag sticks were almost horizontal.
Right.
Really wreaked havoc on a few people. I think that was on the Saturday. But it's definitely pretty much the smallest greens that most of these players are going to face all year round. So what do you think about maybe fading the putting stat? With the greens being as small as they are, if you hit greens in regulation, do you think fading and putting stat might be a way to go?
I think that's a great idea. It definitely makes the thing, the putting a bit easier for everybody to handle because no one's really going to be having long putts. These greens are tricky, though. There's a lot of undulation to them, though. So, I mean, putting is always important, but I think you're right. It's less important this week as a predictive stat.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if not hitting greens, they're hitting, you know, they're scrambling. And usually when you scramble, you have less of a putt. So
yeah, and scrambling is kind of a putting statistic anyways. You know,
yeah.
If you're scrambling successfully, half of that is putting in a hole with a flat stick.
Yeah, for sure. I noticed there's thunderstorms, chance of thunderstorms. And so it feels like we're going back 2 years where every single tournament we're talking about now is threat of thunderstorms and delays. Do you think there's going to be much of that, or did you see that, or is that just, you know, the site that I was looking at screwing up?
I did not see thunderstorms, but I did notice that the wind seemed pretty mellow throughout the whole tournament. I mean, that this weather is so dynamic, I think that it's something that we really just need to monitor again and check out Wednesday evening once we have a clearer picture.
Yeah, definitely always check the weather before, you know, on the Wednesday night before. If you're on the West Coast, definitely do it the night before. If you're on the East Coast, you can afford to do it in the morning. So I know for certain that I probably won't be awake when the tee times start off. So yeah, so I think people on the West Coast already know that. So going ahead to the golfers this week, should we start off maybe 10,000 and above?
Sure.
So I have Jordan Spieth. Surprise, surprise, my top play. It's just pretty hard to fade Jordan Spieth at the time. You know, I figured his price, if he stays in the field, I always thought 14, 15K that his price would be once I realized he was going to be in the Heritage. Are you surprised that it's so low?
I am surprised that it's so low. It's like DraftKings forgot to flip the doom switch on their pricing again and get it back to the old ways. That's exactly the note I put next to Spieth. Pretty hard to fade.
Yeah. At
that price, I mean, the only thing we could, you know, say about this kid maybe not being a play this week is he just won the Masters. Maybe he's on this high, but I really don't get that feel about him. No. I feel like he's out there to win every single time, and it's just on fire right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's his fourth win in – I mean, he won the Australian Open, the Hero Challenge, and when he won the Australian Open, he killed it in the Hero Challenge. Grant, it's only 17 players in that, but he killed a pretty good field.
Yeah.
His performances after a first-place win, the last – in his four wins, the three – tournaments that he's backed it up with have been another first, a seventh, and a second.
I mean, all right.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to fade him. I mean, he seems like he's just out for it. He wants to prove. He's just playing out of his mind. And it's sort of, are we seeing Tiger 2.0? I mean, back in the old days on Draft Street, he'd be well over what he is right now. So
yeah.
If you fade him thinking, what place do you think he has to come for him to be not exceeding value or not reaching value, I should say?
Well, I mean, that's kind of tough to predict in golf because it really depends on who's finishing above him. Yeah, anytime you're paying 12K for a golfer, they definitely need to finish like top 10 to meet value. But I mean, if he's going to be really heavily owned, it's almost kind of like for cash games, just put him in there and run with it, because there are a lot of cheap options this week. There aren't any guys that I really like in like the 9K range. So I guess we're just playing five golfers in Spieth this week.
Yeah, I fully understand that too. I mean, I have no hesitation. I'm going to put him in majority of my teams because it's just stupid. I mean, I only put him in for my millionaire maker. I only put him in 33% of my lineups, and I was kicking myself afterwards. It's like, why didn't I have him more? I was on him. I liked him, and why didn't I have more of Spieth? It's, you know, everything led to Spieth for the Masters, and yeah. So I think Patrick Reed, though, at two, it surprised me. I mean, his course history and his recent form doesn't really dictate someone who's worthy of the second highest price. Would you agree on that?
I agree. His course history is pretty poor. He's got a 48th and a 71st here. Compared that with Spieth, who's played both years, finished 12th and 9th.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just Spieth is on complete fire. Reed is, he's doing Patrick Reed things, but, you know, he's not this bronze god of a golfer that Jordan Spieth is right now. So, yeah, I mean, if Reed was like 11K and Spieth was 16K, then we might be able to talk about it here. But with the, you know, paying up to go to Spieth or going down to some better options from Reed, I don't see myself having a lot of Reed this week.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. That being said, if you are a fan of the multiple GPP entry, you might want to just spit Reed out on a one contrarian play just in case, because Reed just has a habit of coming out of the blue sometimes and picking up a win. So, yep. But in terms of who we like, I think we're both off Reed this week. Then the next three are very interesting. Zach Johnson, Matt Kuchar, and Jimmy Furyk, Slipping Jimmy.
Yeah.
Do you like any of those three?
I do like all of those three. I've got, some issues a little bit with each of them, but, you know, not everybody can be Jordan Spieth these days.
Yes.
I think that Zach Johnson looked excellent this weekend. I was really impressed with his performance. I think the softer greens really allowed some of the shorter hitters to do well this week, and he really excelled. So he's coming in with excellent form. He's got a long list of course history here. He's played 10 times. He's made the cut 8 times. He's finished 2nd and 6th in that try. Zach looks really good. And I think he's trending in the right direction after his performance this weekend.
Yes. Did you notice in the $1 million maker, there was a Z Johnson that played Z Johnson?
I did not.
Yeah, no, it was tweeted out by, I think, Pat Mayo. He tweeted out or retweeted that it was funny. Did Zach Johnson actually tee up for the $1 million maker and put himself in it? Granted, I don't think he did, but yeah, it was funny to see a Z Johnson in there. So, I agree. It does fit Zach's game. And of course it fits Kuchar, but Kuchar, just there's something off about him.
Yeah.
That I
like. What's wrong with him?
I don't know. It's strange, and he's probably due, like, you know, for those who hate that term, he's due.
Right.
He's probably due for another top 10 very soon. But I like Furyk. I really do. I mean, he's the straightest hitter off the tee that in the whole field. He's, I think, ranked 5th in accuracy. So he's definitely someone who I like. His recent form does worry me. I don't usually like taking people who miss the cut, but mm-hmm. if it's after a major, especially the Masters,
yeah,
I'd like to sort of, you know, if he's a top 10, well, Jim Furyk is a top 10 talent, he's ranked 10th in the world, so you have to sort of discount that. He even said before the Masters that it's slow and it's long and he doesn't like it.
Yeah.
So he already gave up on the Masters pretty much before it started. One really interesting fact is Jim Furyk won in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
2010 was the last time Jim Furyk missed the cut at the Masters.
Mm.
And he stayed behind after the tournament at the Masters and worked on his driving.
Yeah. So, did you see him hanging out with Miguel Angel Jimenez?
Oh, yeah, it's just an old man show right there, you know.
It's hilarious. It reminded me of, like, Gavin Smith and Eric Seidel hanging out at a poker tournament after they busted yesterday. I'm like, what are these two opposite people doing hanging out together? This is so cool.
Well, yeah, no, I think what happened, and a mate of mine was telling me this, is the PGA Superstore, the truck where they do all the modifications, obviously was in town, and he was probably testing out a few different drivers, you know, some new gear maybe. So, I mean, I think he's dedicated. He is a dedicated person in general for tournaments, and this just suits his play to a T. So, I mean, I'm trying to work out how to get Spieth and Furyk on the same team and go Stars and Scrubs with those two.
We will get there. This is exactly the puzzle I was playing with earlier.
Yeah, so, I mean, I mean, Kuch is great, and I really like Zach, but, you know, to get a winning sort of, or not a winning formula, but a team that I like more, it works out better to have Furyk than Zach. So
Yep.
I'm probably leaning more towards Furyk. And what about Poulter?
Poulter. He's interesting to me. I think he makes another excellent GPP play.
I agree with that.
I think that everyone's going to kind of land on the analysis that we have so deftly looked at. Spieth underpriced and Furyk just that this is his course. It's like it was built for him. Mm-hmm. Poulter, meanwhile, though, he's made four cuts out of four tries here. But the last time he played was in 2011. He just finished sixth at the Masters. He's in excellent form coming into this thing. And I think he's going to be off people's radars a bit, but he could definitely win.
I agree with that. Poulter's, though, is someone who's really hard to nail down. And I think a lot of people, like you said, will be off him. I like him much better than some of the options below him. So... Mm-hmm. I do agree with that a ton. And, six in the Masters. I'm pretty sure that's his best finish in the Masters without pulling back the stats from there. So he's definitely going into this tournament on a high.
Yep.
So, yeah, those are probably the four best options in that out of the six, 10,000 above. So completely agree with you there, mate.
Yeah. It's nice to not fight with you like usual.
Oh, I think it's good, mate. I think it's good. We both have our opinions, so
yeah,
great. So, probably you mentioned that you don't like anyone in 9,000K or not many.
I don't like any until Webb Simpson. He's the only one that I think has the tools for this course who doesn't have some problems here. Ustazen, this is his first try here. Billy Haas has gone 4 for 10 here. He withdrew last year.
Yeah, I think what happened last year, though, if memory serves me correct, he fell down some stairs.
All right.
Big night the night before, maybe. I don't want to be quoted on that, but I'm pretty sure because I was on him last year and then he withdrew. I was like, what the hell? And so I had to, delve down a bit deeper. And, his record here isn't that great either. I mean, he's got a 40% cut rate.
Right.
So, I mean, he was doing well. I think he pulled out in the first round, after the first round. So, Snedeker, interesting fact, back in 2013 when Dry Street was the only one really doing PGA,
uh-huh,
Brent Snedeker was the top player at 31,000 for Dry Street. Now, it was 100K salary cap, so he's 31.7% of this cap.
Wow.
Now look at Spieth, he's 25%.
Yeah.
So back then, things were a bit harder, a bit tighter. And Snedeker's record coming into this, I mean, that event was nowhere near what Spieth was. So
yeah.
I've put Snedeker in a team and then I've taken him out of the team. I sort of went in, out, sort of like a Keegan Bradley lead up shot. Do I want to do it? No, I don't. Do I want to do it? No, I don't. So that's why I sort of want to go the Spieth Furyk option is because, like you said, I don't trust many of the 9K players. And if I was, you hit it right on the head. Webb Simpson is the guy who I'd be taking if I had to pick. I mean, I'm off the Billy Horschel train. Mm-hmm. I was heavily on him and he screwed me last week. He screwed me hard. I mean,
should have played Paul Casey.
Pardon?
Should have played Paul Casey.
I know. There's a lot of should have, could have, would have. I thought after the first day, Billy Horschel was -2. I was thinking gold. Gold, Jerry, gold. But, it just didn't work out, +6. And do you think much of that happened to do that he was teamed, he was paired or grouped with Jordan Spieth?
I don't know. I mean,
it didn't affect Stenson, but yeah. Stenson's a much more elite player than Billy Horschel. And he's not as much of a hothead as Billy Horschel could be, too. So, I mean, I wonder if that had something to do with it. I mean, because this is a ball striker course, and Billy Horschel is a ball striker.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I picked him for the Masters, is because I thought his ball striking might sort of be sneaky.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, really. No, it wasn't. So, yeah. So Billy Horschel's ninth place last in 2 years ago actually came. He, I think, double bogeyed or triple putted his final hole.
Yeah.
So yeah, it would have been a much better finish for him that year. But I mean, that cost me a little bit too. So Billy Horschel, I'm off the Billy Horschel train, I guess, is the long way of putting it. So definitely Webb Simpson out of the 9K range. What do you think of Charlie, though?
Charlie Hoffman?
I think that
he's got good form and good history here, and he's finished in the top 10 twice in his 5 tries.
Yeah.
I don't think that this is really the course for him, though. Hoffman's much more of a bomber. He's kind of just zing it out there, and let's get it close to the green and then eventually in the hole. But I think those guys are really going to get punished this week. So I'm off the Hoff. I mean, man, Snedeker did win that year in 2011 when he was 30-something percent of the cap. But that's the only good thing.
No, that was 2012.
Oh, that was 12. Yeah. 1 and 11. Okay.
No, sorry. It's 2013. So, uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, he won 11. So it wasn't when he was highly priced, but that was ridiculous. I mean, Luke Donald, obviously, he has great form. Well, not great form. I mean, I was talking about 2013. He had great form coming into it, and he had great history. He was the second owned by like 1,000. So, you know, I've done something like PGA players do now is my Google Docs, I've just continued to add on. So it's real fun going back and seeing how they were priced in the past. So That's just cool. A little tidbit there. So yeah, but definitely I think Luke Donald also in this 9K range, Luke Donald, awesome, just awesome course history. But do you trust him?
No. I remember when he was good at golf, though.
Yeah. But the funny thing is, I think he was number one in the world without actually really winning much. Well, I mean, I think he won a whole bunch of European tours, but a lot of top tens. And I think that's the reason why he was such highly ranked, is because he just didn't get out of the top 10. Now he's sometimes struggles to make the cut.
Yeah, he's missed a lot of cuts lately. But, I mean, he won all the money that year. I think it was 2011 that he actually won the money title for the Euro Tour and the PGA Tour. So who cares if you're not winning trophies if you win all the money?
Oh, yeah. It's all about the Benjamins and Euros if you're from the other side of the pond. Mm-hmm. So I definitely, like you said, not on too much of the 9K people. Louis Oosthuizen, I was just sort of really pissed that he did as good as he did in the Masters. I was really expecting him to falter a little bit more than he did, but it was the Angel Cabrera grouping that got him through. So, but definitely a guy who I am never really going to take. Do you see much in him?
No, I don't know much about him, and I honestly just kind of moved along from him when I saw it was his first time there.
Yeah.
This week.
No worries. So getting into the, the 8 to 9K range, that's a whole 5 players. It seems like it's very weak in that area. Do you like any of those guys? Streelman, Summerhays, Kirk, McDowell, and the Cockrack? In Devo terms, the Cockrack.
Thank you for using the preferred nomenclature. You know, I kind of don't really like any of these guys either, which kind of makes me happy because that means that the guys I do like are cheaper, which means we can get our Furyk and our Spieth. But, you know, if everybody ends up in the same spot, I don't know. I mean, so I'm trying to find things in these guys that I like, and I just don't. I mean, Cockrack is a bomber. This isn't his course. He's not very accurate. He doesn't get it close to the pin. GMD won in 2013, but I'm pretty concerned about his form. Chris Kirk looks like he's got some game for this course, you know, but he's only 2 for 4 making cuts, 27th and a 30th in his last two tries here. He's kind of the best out of that bunch, I think. Summerhays cut 64th, you know, he's got good stats for the course though, but he hasn't performed. So, I mean, all these guys, I just don't like any of them really.
See, I like Streelman. I think he's a Weeb Simpson 2.0. He's a straight hitter. I mean, he won at the Valspar, which was the Tampa Bay Classic at the time. So do you take any sort of correlation between some of these other courses that are for short and straight hitters, like the Valspar, in your research much, or you just no?
Yes, I definitely look at corollary courses. I don't really think Valspar is one of them. I think driving distance was a lot more important there than most people thought. But, yeah, I haven't gotten that deep into my research, but I definitely will later. And Streelman is the one guy on that list that I do have a little bit of love for. You know, he's 4 and 6 making cuts here.
4 and 4 in the last 5 years. So that's
right. And I always give these guys a little bit of a break at these courses that really require course knowledge. So if he got cut his first two tries and then he's, you know, performed really well in the last four, yeah, that looks pretty reasonable to me. But still, I mean, he doesn't get me excited, you know, like I'm just like, oh, I can't find anything bad about Streelman. That's good.
Yeah. Well, you know, in terms of world golf ranking points, this is his best tournament. Like the Masters was his best tournament of the year, ninth best in his career. So he might be riding high of the Masters placing. I mean, the dude shot 70, 70, 70, 72. So he didn't shoot over par at the Masters, which take that away from someone like Streelman, who is not as much of a player as the other players in that field. You got that's like a cap in the like a feather in the cap right there. So you never know, he could be coming out of that with some major confidence. I mean, 67th was his last tournaments, last three tournaments, 67th, 42nd, 12th. I like that trend.
Yeah, me too.
Trend is very good. So, and like you said, how many of the winners, the past winners, have come playing the Masters the week before?
Almost all of them.
So, I mean, that's a nice little, yeah. I mean, he's the one that throws the wrench in my Stars and Scrubs, because if you want Spieth and Furyk, there's no way you're getting Streelman. Yeah, he might. If you're really high on Streelman, you're still going to have to go maybe for a more balanced approach, maybe a Weeb and a Webb. Sorry, a mate of mine calls him Dweeb Simpson because he screwed him over so many times. So, so Webb Simpson and Kevin Streelman, if you want to go balanced attack, that might be a great starting point. Weeb and Webb and Webb 2.0. So, those are the guys in the 8,000 range. Summerhays, I have a love-hate relationship with him. Like you said, his course history here, not great, but his stats do just scream, I like this course, or I fit this course, and his current form is pretty good considering the field and basically, he's coming off a fourth, where he actually tied 14th for fairway accuracy. So, at the Valero and the Shell. So he's definitely a very interesting prospect if you want to go a more balanced attack. So, So you like the 7Ks, mate?
We're starting to get there. I actually like a lot of the cheap guys this week.
You like them cheap this week.
Yeah, I'm liking cheap. I'm probably going to end up going Stars and Scrubs. But yeah, 7K guys is when you start getting into the, all right, I'm interested in these guys. But it takes me all the way down to Knox before I'm finally excited about a guy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
See, since you're below Knox, I'll go who I like above Knox, because I was pretty upset with myself about Brandon DeYoung. You and I spoke before the Shell, and I said that you know what? He was teeing off in the first wave at the Valero, mm-hmm. and maybe that wasn't great for him. I know it wasn't great for a lot of people, but he could be a guy back, and he came fifth, and I was pissed that I wasn't on more De Young. So he is a straight shooter. He doesn't putt well. That's his biggest flaw, is he doesn't putt well. He's in the big Kevin Stadler mold, both physically and in his game. Doesn't putt well, but sort of smaller greens, if you can find greens in regulation, doesn't necessarily hurt you that much. And his course history, he missed the cut last year, but 9th, 29th, 21st, 31st.
Yep.
His last 5 years at this tournament. So he's, you know, 5 out of 4, 80% making the cut here. And he's coming off of 5th place. I sort of like him in a balanced attack. So,
yeah, I can get on board that train. Looking at his numbers here, he's very accurate driver, 24th ranked there. He's above average in greens and reg. He's pretty good at proximity. You know, he's not that bad of a putter. He still gains, you know, 0.03 of a stroke putting, which, you know, is better than a lot of people, but
yeah,
he seems like a nice, well-rounded golfer that should do well here.
And so, yeah, and he's just a guy that just, he doesn't excite you a lot, but he has a tendency to get into the top 10 sometimes. There's no way I'm saying that he's top 10-ing, but you know what? For his price, if he can get like a top 30, I'm happy at that price. So another player is Pat Perez. He's a bit schizophrenic sometimes when it comes to his finishes, but he's still 20th and 11th with his last two go-arounds. His course history here the last 5 years is 18th, 18th, and a 6th. So it's pretty – that's pretty good course history, recent course history. So those are the two guys who I'm mainly looking at that above Knox price and maybe throwing in a Charles Howell III. One thing I found about it, about – good old Charles Howell is, even though he really sucks at accuracy, his proximity to the hole is much, his rank at proximity to the hole is much better from the rough than it is the fairway. I mean, his proximity itself is something like, I think, 7 feet difference between the two, between fairway and rough. So he does much better than the rest of the field shooting from the rough than he does the fairway, and there's many jokes you can make about that too.
Yeah, I think a lot of that probably has to do with his distance, though. He's so good at getting it out there that he's having, you know, shorter approach shots from the rough, so that's, you know, not as difficult as some of the other guys who are not hitting as far. I'm scared about Perez before his last three goes. He was 1 for 6 making the cuts before those nice 3 last finishes. Do you know any, like, if he changed his game at all? Like, was he a different golfer back then?
Oh, little thing about Pat is he's anger issues personified. I mean, he's definitely one of those players who just blew up. And when I mean blew up, one of those people hot-headed, just, you know, I think there's some YouTube clips out there of him just losing it. I mean, I think he screamed at a kid once, you know, after a round that he didn't, I think he came second in a tournament, and it was a close tournament, and he just blew up some kid, I think, won an Orograph. I mean, just anger issues galore. And, you know, anger doesn't really do golfers really well. You need to be cool, calm, and collected sometimes. Yeah. If you can build that rage into something positive, that's great. But when you're blowing up at a little kid who wants an autograph, you know, you got some issues there. So he definitely has had some issues in his past. But, I mean, two of those were withdrawals back-to-back in 07 and 06. So it's hard to know exactly without going back and researching why he withdrew from those tournaments. One was a plus 10, which obviously screams – either injury or I'm sucking, I'm going to fake an injury and get out of this bloody hellhole and go home. The other one was at even. So, and depending on when and where, like if it was third round at even, yeah, he's probably sucking and he didn't want to play anymore. But if it was after the first round and he withdrew at even, probably a legit injury.
Yeah,
so, makes sense. Yeah, and other than that, I mean, I can go back further, but Yeah, miscut, 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 13th, withdraw, withdraw. So those are his five miscuts there. So, and those are ranging back to 2007. So, you know, his next tournament after 2007 was 11. And from 11 onwards, he hasn't missed a cut. And he's done pretty well.
Oh, yeah, three straight top 20s is excellent.
So I like – I've trying to stay away from Delat, though. Last year I was all over him. The last 2 years I've been over him. But his greens and regulation always impresses me, but his distance – he's a bomber. And
he's a bomber.
Yeah, I'm sort of staying away from him. So you said you're a Knox and below sort of guy. So why don't you tell us all about that one?
Well, I liked a lot for GPPs. I think he has the tools for this course. I think hitting at 300 yards certainly can't hurt you in some spots. But yeah, his greens and reg is excellent. He's not a very good putter, but that doesn't matter very much. And he's even better at hole proximity than he is at greens and reg. So I think he could heat up and win this thing, but I'm not going to be touching him in cash games. But you will see him in my GPPs teams.
Definitely.
Yeah, Knox, though. I do like Knox a lot. I think his stats look excellent for this course. I think he's going to go a little bit overlooked because he was cut at his last try in Texas. Mm-hmm. He finished ninth here last year in his very first try, which is extra impressive, you know, not having the course history. Yeah, so his form wasn't bad. He barely missed the cut last time he played. It's a bummer that he wasn't in the Masters, but, you know, I think that he is going to go very overlooked, and I think that he is a very solid play this week.
Do you think maybe his ownership boosted a little bit considering that he did top 10 last year?
Yeah, probably, but, you know, I think that ownership will be diminished a little bit by the same guys that don't take guys that got cut last time they played golf.
Yeah, very good point.
So yeah, and Brendan Todd, I think, is another excellent option in the low 7K range. Some of the same things going for him. You know, he got cut at the Masters, but that was at the Masters. Yeah, he's a very accurate golfer. He's an excellent ball striker. And, yeah, he's got the tools for this course, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. And I'm just pulling up Todd right now. Mm-hmm. And when you look over his last 50 events, and they do range down to his web.com events, If you look at his finishes after a miscut, pretty impressive, even from his web.com. Huh. Okay, so 14th, 2nd, 44th, 6th, 1st, 46th, 36th, and 10th.
All right.
So there's a couple of first, seconds, and a sixth and a tenth there after miscuts. So
yeah, that's strong.
That's definitely something very interesting to think about. And while we're on the fact of, you know, performances after a miscut, I will throw this little tidbit out, and it doesn't have any bearing on this tournament, but Webb Simpson is another player who's very strong after a miscut. So, for the next time you guys, Webb Simpson misses a cut, sort of take a look at him after he misses a cut, because he's definitely another player who sort of bounces back strong from a miscut.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely Todd. Can't agree with you more on Todd. I think his stats dictate that in cash game, he's definitely a cash game player. I think he's strong enough to roster on that, and very solid in GPP, gives you nice salary cap relief.
Yep.
If you want to go for the Furyk and Spieth or Zach Johnson and Spieth combo, or whoever else and Spieth combo up there in the Stars and Scrubs.
Yeah, you're going to have some of these cheaper guys that we're getting to if you want to unlock those combos for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of Todd in my lineups. This is his third time playing here. He missed the cut in his first try. And when did he finish his second?
I think it was...
maybe it was the other way
around. 38th.
38th, all right.
So yeah. 38th for that. So definitely a nice play there. So getting into the 6 to 7K range, this is where you like, don't you? Or...
Yeah. I'm still working on nailing this down. I think this is where the tournaments are going to be won and lost this week, is picking the 6K range correctly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I've got Furyk, Knox, Spieth, and Todd, then I need to find two guys that average 6.4K to slip into my lineup. And I think we can do that. I'm just not sure exactly which guys those guys are yet, because I was drunk on a houseboat last night.
There are worse things in life to be drunk on a houseboat somewhere. So, probably in this range, I like John Ha. He's 17th, 35th, and 55th, 33rd, and 17th his last five events, and he came third here last year.
Huh. All right.
Definitely a guy in the 6.7K range that's worth a flyer on in GPPs.
Mm-hmm.
KJ Choi, I go back to KJ a lot. I think he's a very solid golfer. He's last three tournaments here, 31st, 18th, and 41st. So that's in the last 5 years, and he missed a cut. I mean, my page here goes back to 2004, and he's not on there. So his missed cut was before 2004. So let's just say in the last, you know, or definitely in the last 10 years, he hasn't missed a cut here. So definitely a guy who I like at 6.6K. And there's a few others in there. I mean, I got a tweet about Freddie Jakobsen earlier in the day. Freddie's main thing is putting. So if you sort of diminish the putting stat, it sort of makes him diminishes his value a lot. So for the person who tweeted to me about Freddie Jakobsen, you can roster him. There is he is what he is. He sticks around this year and makes cuts, but he doesn't really wow you. But I really do think that the smaller greens does diminish the strongest part of his game, which is the putting. But at the same time, he is Freddie Jakobsen, and he does sort of hang around and 8 out of 6 making the cut at this tournament. Definitely worth a flyer if you want to roster him.
What you got on Rory Sabatini?
Rory Sabatini, great history, poor form.
Okay.
I mean, if you really want to take the where is Rory? What price is he?
6.8K.
6.8, yeah. So I think he's 11th. I mean, miscut, 11th, miscut, his last five.
Mm-hmm.
5 out of 6 making the cut at in his career at this course. I think he's 11th, either came at the Valspar or the Honda. And, you know, I sort of take the Valspar as something similar in the terms that you really needed to keep it on the fairways. Not necessarily, I mean, I know the distances were a lot different. It's a bit longer course, but you still had to sort of keep it in the fairway. That's why Stenson was using the woods off the tee instead of the drivers, because he needed to keep it in the fairway. So Sabatini, I have notoriously bad juju with South Africans, not named Charles Schwartzel. So I won't recommend him, but I won't say he's a bad play either.
I think I read somewhere that Sony was a corollary course. Do you know if that's true?
There's not as much trees in the Sony. There's more wind, a lot of palm trees, not as much. If memory serves me, there's a lot more hanging limbs for Hilton Head than Sony. It's more of a wind course. The fairways get overlooked at the Sony because usually the week before is the Tournament of Champions, where you could land a jumbo jet down the fairways and maybe two of them down the fairways. And so a lot of people might overblow the narrowness of the fairways for the Sony, but I don't think there's as much trees, or at least thick trees. It's an old course, Hilton Head too. So there's a lot of growth there. So you're going to have probably more tighter fairways than you would probably at the Sony.
Yeah. I can't argue with his course history though. It's very impressive. Ninth, 17th, 14th, and 8th.
Yeah.
And he played some other time and got cut. That was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty impressive for 6.8K.
Yeah, and that's one of those definitely GPP. I mean, no way I'm putting him in a cash game, but GPP, definitely. If I'm doing multiple rosters, definitely a GPP play, worthy of a GPP slot at that price. So, I mean, if you put out the, 10 to 20 entries in a GPP, you have to have him on one. So that's my thought on him. Right above him is O'Neal's.
How about Boo Weekly? He's another guy that looks like he has excellent course history.
Great course history. I mean, 8 for 8, 2 wins. He loves that really ugly jacket. if you really don't like plaid, I mean, I guess I don't mind the jacket. It's one of the signatures.
What's wrong with plaid, huh?
Yeah, I know. I noticed just after I said that you were in plaid there. Trying to backtrack just a little bit there. So Boo is in his wheelhouse. This course, it's a Boo Weekly. They should rename it the Boo Weekly. Definitely a guy who is a great ball striker. He can hit greens. He's great iron player. Just that form, that recent form. Another sort of it's
cut.
Yeah, and let me see, Boo Weekly. So, one thing about though is he went through a really rough patch of really bad finishes, just like he does now. But he's always managed to make the cut. So in the past, I mean, he sort of had a resurgence in his career. So I think it was sort of last year that he did. So. Definitely another GPP play. And, you know, if you want to get sneaky with your cash game, I wouldn't be against it. Would you?
If you want to get sneaky for your cash games, my name on DraftKings is Maverick USC.
No worries. Point taken.
So who do we like in the 6K range for cash games?
It's hard. It's real hard. I guess, even though I've just been him, but Freddie Jakobsen maybe, and maybe KJ Choi. If I was doing cash games in the 6K range, I mean, a lot of people might be on Ernie Els because, you know, he sort of had a bounce back at the Masters, a 13th, a 57th, a 22nd, and that was at the Masters. So 15 events played, 11 cuts made. So, but in the last 5 years, I guess 64th miscut. So maybe that might shoot people down. But there's not a lot in cash games around there that I'm comfortable with.
Ben Martin?
He's sneaky. Very, 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 very sneaky.
He finished third year last year.
Yes. And he is, if you discount his miscut at the Masters, fifth before that. Yeah. So,
and he barely missed the cut at the Masters. He was even.
Yeah. So, but do you trust him in a cash game is, I guess, the question. I might even look maybe towards like a George McNeil for a cash game. He doesn't impress a lot. He's 50% making the cut, but 20th, 35th, miscut, 11th, 69th, his last five events. So, you know, it at this price, I think Stars and Scrubs, you know, John Hart makes probably at the 67K range, might be the best cash game play you might get at this price between the 7 and 6K range. Do you have any sort of variations apart from Ben Martin?
Well, I've got John Ha written down, and I have no notes next to him.
Yeah, he's nothing that will blow your socks off. He's not a player that will wow you, but his recent form and last year's result might actually boost and bolster his ownership percentages up. So, and I think there's a fair few people within the industry that have been talking about him too. So those who scour the internet and to find picks other than here at Roto Grinders, might actually be on John Hart more than probably most weeks.
Right.
So another player who's won at 6K, who's very dynamic off the tee, is Aaron Baddeley, you know, good old Australian boy, but his putter is what saves him in most tournaments that he does make the cut. But again, I mean, it's real funny is you got Boo Weekly, Kyle Peterson, Aaron Baddeley, all won, and they're all in that 6K range. And so it's sort of like they have won this tournament before.
Yeah, so, like recently too.
Pardon?
Like recently too.
Aaron Baddeley didn't, but Boo Weekly.
Pedersen in 12.
Yeah. Pedersen definitely, he's the big steak and barbecue guy. Big fella. So, but, you know, he did miss his cut the last year. So he's, it's sort of past winners. I've been trying to work out DraftKings salary, the way they've done the salaries this week, and it just seems like they haven't really taken in course like recent form with Spieth. They didn't really take into consideration his recent form. So you think, oh, maybe they, you know, course history. Well, a lot of like, there's a lot of winners down here that have had great. Well, obviously they've won, so they've had great course history, and yet their prices are down. So I've really been stumped about the pricing for DraftKings this week.
Yeah, their pricing doesn't even look like the odds either. I mean, Spieth is a clear runaway favorite at 6.5 to 1, followed by Zach Johnson at 16 to 1, Ian Poulter at 22 to 1, Furyk at 18 to 1, and then Patrick Reed at 22 to 1. So, yeah, interesting for sure.
Yeah, and it's funny is he's Spieth is what? Wasn't he 13? No, sorry, he was 11. So he's only $1,000 more than he was last week.
Right. And
those prices came out after the Valspar when he won. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, for a lot of people, like, oh, well, the prices came out, you know, before the Masters started, 3 weeks before the Masters. But the prices came out the week after Jordan Spieth won anyway.
Right.
And so for the Masters, so it's a head scratcher. It really is. So, yeah. Other than that, I'm not on too many other people. Maybe a Brian Davis as well, or William McGirt, if you want to throw names out there. I mean, I haven't, you know, I've written about William in my article, so I do like that top 10 last year. Technically made the cut the year before that. It was an 88, so you know he was a victim to the second cut when you finish 88th. But you know, 40th, 59th, missed cut, 22nd, 14th. So that might be another name that you might want to throw out there. So other than that, you're getting 5K, you know, below 6K, the options are sort of drying up there. Do you have many thoughts and opinions on some of the guys below 6K?
Yeah, there's a few names I like. I think the uniqueness of this course really rewarding accuracy and short guys kind of gives us some cheaper players to take advantage of, because most courses require you to be a bomber these days. All these guys obviously are struggling with form and such now, though. I don't think any of them are good for cash games. You know, their price is cheap because they've been performing really poorly. But I think David Toms is an interesting guy.
I think he withdrew, though.
6K. Oh, he's out?
Yeah, I think he withdrew, and Carlos Ortiz took his place. But I'm only 50% sure. I think I read that, but not to derail what you're saying, but I'm pretty sure he withdrew. So
then I'm not going to play him this week.
I was actually looking at Kevin Stadler and I was thinking, wow, he's very underpriced.
Yep.
And I was very much happy. And then I read on Roto World that he potentially could be taking time off to heal his broken bone in his wrist until the Players, even though he played the Masters. I thought, well, you know, he played the Masters.
Yeah,
he first week back in 12 weeks, I can understand why he missed the cut at the Masters, so he might be back. This is a great course for him to really get back into the flow of things. But his quote after the missed cut in the Masters was, yeah, I'm not really in tournament shape. So Maybe we might see another withdrawal coming down the pipe for Kevin Stadler. If he tees up, he's a great option at 58, but just beware at Kevin Stadler. He doesn't sound like he's really going to be teeing it up this week. So just a bit of an asterisk next to his name. I'm not saying he withdrew already, but he could.
Yeah. Kevin Na has withdrawn recently.
Yes, that too.
Zach Blair, maybe for another 4 point something K guy.
4 point. Wow. I was looking at the fives, mate. I was looking at the fives. Yeah, Zach Blair. He's no course history and miscut 21st, miscut 38th. I'd probably stay away from him, but whenever I've stayed away from him, he's made the cut. And when I've rostered him, he's missed the cut or withdrawn. So, I mean, he's definitely a player who reeks of GPP if you're going stars and scrubs. Mm-hmm. A player who I, in the 4K range that I might look at, is Scott Langley. His recent form is miscut 58th, 63rd, 55th, 51st, which doesn't scream, hey, look at me. But his course history is 38th and 24th. In the two events that he's played. So he's made the cut and made the cut handsomely in his only trips here. So his course history isn't that bad considering his price, but he's definitely a flyer at that price.
His form looks pretty poor, but he's a cut maker though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we definitely just want these guys to make the cut.
He might be a Michael Putnam 2.0. And speaking of Michael Putnam, he's still making cuts.
Yep.
It was real funny is when I mentioned Michael Putnam and his brother Andrew was priced more on Victive. Turns out Andrew beat Michael that week. So I guess Victive got me there. So
you got that.
25th, 75th, 47th, 61st, 21st, miscut is his course history here. So if you want to be a Putnam man, be wary of his course history, but his recent form indicates that he will be a bar fly and he will hang around until close time. So other than that, I mean, I don't particularly like too many people. Maybe Alex Ketcher. I know I botched that name. He's the Germans at 5,700 after winning his first ever PGA Tour after 200 plus tries, 53rd and 11th. So he could be a nice flyer at 5,700. His course history, 7 events played, 4 made cuts, 57% cut rate. His last one was a withdrawal at +2. So definitely something to be intrigued about if you're going stars and scrubs.
Yep.
So any, have you looked at Victive at all this week at all, mate?
Yeah, I have looked at Victive and, the pricing is much tougher than DraftKings, I think, or at least tougher than it's been lately at Victive.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I can find a couple guys that are really cheap that I like, and I can't. My Victive punt of the week is don't punt.
Go the opposite of DraftKings, more balanced attack?
Yeah, I'm totally going to be going the balanced attack on Victive. There isn't any bonus for winning on Victive. So, you know, fading Spieth isn't as important, you know, if he wins by a stroke or two.
Unless he wins by he did at the Masters, and that's when he becomes much more valuable. But predicting on how much someone's going to win by is pretty hard.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, there just isn't anything I like at all here, but there's a lot of guys that I like in, like, the 7 and 8K range. So, yeah. Furyk's cheaper. Spieth is about the same price, but you got to come up with 7 golfers. I mean, I don't like anybody. Like, all the guys that I'm starting to even look at are getting to be, like, in the 5K range, but then I'd just rather pay up a little bit more. So, yeah.
So Victive punt of the week is not to punt at all. And sometimes that's a great strategy. If you can't really find a punt, don't try and force it.
Yeah, you don't need to force it just because, you get 2 exemptions. But
yeah, so definitely. So, that's great to know. I mean, I haven't looked at Victive, but yeah, I've been focusing more on the DraftKings proportion of this tournament. So we have wrapped up, Victor. We've wrapped up DraftKings. I think we've wrapped up the show, mate.
I've got a question for you.
Sure, shoot.
If you can't fit Furyk and Spieth into your lineup, which one do you take?
How many lineups you making?
Just for your optimal cash game.
Optimal cash game. I'm still probably – that's toughy. I'd probably lean – that's tough. I'd probably lean Spieth. I mean, it's really hard to fade him. I mean, who else in this field can you feel comfortable about winning? I mean,
he's very clear favorite. It's not even close.
Yeah, and so he's only 2K more.
Right.
And so you can make that up pretty easily. So if you can't, if there's not a click, I mean, if you have this lineup and say your optimal lineup has you pegged at Furyk at 12.4, so $100 less than what you can get Spieth for. You've almost nailed Spieth, but you can't get him. Then obviously, you know, scaling back to Furyk, maybe even a Zach Kitrarian, maybe. But yeah, it's tough. It depends on who you can get there.
Yeah.
But that's a tough one. I'm trying my hardest to get Spieth and Furyk on the same team because it's just. Yeah, I like that combination.
I do too. And I think it's going to be easy to make GPP lineups that are, you know, unique, diverse, have those two guys on it, just kind of playing the game of Boggle with all those guys that we mentioned in the 6K range who, you know, there's good things about them and there's not so good things. But, I mean, for these cash games, we're probably only need, you know, can probably be winning this week with 4 out of 6 through, I would imagine, and in a handful of 50-50s, especially if you got, you know, some top finishers in there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. I think that's going to be a fun conundrum to wrestle with.
And one little thing, though, is don't discount the fact that a lot of people might be burnt out on researching so much Masters that they could end up putting teams together they don't necessarily like. So,
yeah.
Definitely, you know, it's definitely a tournament where you can make a good killing if you put the time and effort into it because there is a Masters hangover.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, you've gone from the best players in the world to, oh, now I've got to research. Okay, what has, you know, Brandon, not Brandon Grace because he played in the Masters, but first name out of the thing, what has, you know, Jerry Kelly done, you know, do I want to play him? And I'm just spitballing names out here, but you're going back from a really great field to a, oh God, I got to think about this guy now kind of thing. So
right.
A lot of the astute, you know, PGA DFS players, you know, this is their sort of bread and butter. You know, obviously if we win a million, that's great. But at these tournaments in which there's more or less known players, that's when you can really sort of hammer it home. But don't discount the fact that maybe some of the people you're playing against are maybe burnt out on Masters research and they're just putting a team in just for putting a team in sake.
Yep.
So, but anyways, mate, I think our time is up, but always great talking to you. Always great talking about golf. And we will be catching you all next week. Good luck for everyone in the tournament. I am Gib. This is Devo. You have a great week and good luck.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Daily Fantasy Fix podcast. Head to rotogrinders.com and check out all of our daily fantasy content. Remember to follow us on Twitter @RotoGrinders for breaking news and expert analysis.